Chapter 9, Why the Seven Deacons Were Chosen. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The early church was made up of many classes of people, of various nationalities. At the time of Pentecost, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Among those of the Hebrew faith were some known as Grecians. Between them and the Jews of Palestine there had long existed distrust. Those who had been converted were united by Christian love. Despite former prejudices, all were in harmony with one another. But Satan sought to take advantage of former habits of thought, thereby to introduce disunion into the church. The enemy succeeded in arousing the suspicions of some who had been in the habit of finding fault with their spiritual leaders, and so there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. The cause of complaint was an alleged neglect of the Greek widows in the daily distribution of assistance. Prompt measures must be taken to remove all occasion for dissatisfaction, lest the enemy bring division among the believers. Under the wise leadership of the apostles, the church was continually enlarging, and this growth brought increasingly heavy burdens on those in charge. There was necessity for a distribution of the responsibilities borne faithfully by a few during the earlier days. The apostles must lay on others some of the burdens thus far borne by themselves. Summoning the believers, the apostles stated that the spiritual leaders should be relieved from the task of distributing to the poor and from similar burdens. They must be free to preach the gospel. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, and to the ministry of the word. This advice was followed, and by prayer and laying on of hands, seven chosen men were set apart as deacons. The results of this new plan. The appointment of the seven proved a great blessing to the church. These officers gave careful consideration to individual needs, as well as to the general financial interests of the church, and were an important aid in binding together the various interests of the church. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. This was due both to the greater freedom secured by the apostles and the zeal shown by the seven deacons. These brethren, ordained for looking after the needs of the poor, were also fully qualified to instruct others in the truth, and they engaged in the work with earnestness. The proclamation of the gospel was to be worldwide, and the messengers of the cross should remain united, and thus reveal to the world that they were one with Christ in God. See, their power was dependent on a close connection with the one who had commissioned them to preach the gospel. As they should continue to labor unitedly, heavenly messengers would open the way before them, hearts would be prepared for the truth, and many would be won to Christ. The church would go forth fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners, gloriously fulfilling her divine mission. The church at Jerusalem was to serve as a model for the organization of churches in every place. Those given the responsibility of the general oversight of the church were, as wise shepherds, to feed the flock of God, being in samples to the flock, and the deacons were to be men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. When in various parts of the world many believers had been formed into churches, the organization was further perfected. Every member was to make a wise use of the talents entrusted to him. Some were endowed with special gifts, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. RSV. But all were to labor in harmony. Each believer has a special gift of the Spirit. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Verses 7-12, RSV. When Moses was endeavoring to carry burdens so heavy that he would soon have worn away, he was counseled by Jethro to plan for a wise distribution of responsibilities. Represent the people before God, Jethro advised, and bring their cases to God. Jethro further advised that men be appointed to act as rulers of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, thus relieving Moses of many minor matters that could be dealt with by consecrated helpers. RSV. Those in leading positions of responsibility in the church should deal with the weightier matters demanding special wisdom and largeness of heart. Such men should not adjust minor matters that others are well qualified to handle. Moses chose able men out of all Israel, hard cases they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Verses 25-26, RSV. Moses was careful to select men possessing dignity, sound judgment, and experience. To Solomon, called to occupy a position of leading responsibility, David gave a special charge, "Thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts, if thou seek him. He will be found of thee." A beautiful plan of organization. The same principles of piety and justice that were to guide God's people in the time of Moses and David were to be followed by those given the oversight of the newly organized church in the gospel dispensation. In setting things in order and ordaining men to act as officers, the apostles held to the standards of leadership outlined in the Old Testament. He who is called to leading responsibility in the church must be blameless, he must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable. A lover of goodness, master of himself, upright, holy, and self-controlled, he must hold firm to the sure word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to confute those who contradict it. RSV. The order maintained in the early Christian church made it possible for them to move forward as a well-disciplined army. Believers, though scattered over a large territory, were all one body, all moved in concert and in harmony. When dissension arose in a local church, matters were not permitted to create division, but were referred to a general council of appointed delegates from the various churches, with the apostles and elders in positions of leading responsibility. Thus the plans of the enemy to disrupt and destroy were thwarted. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He requires that order and system be observed today. Christian is to be united with Christian, church with church, every agency subordinate to the Holy Spirit, and all combined in giving the world the good tidings of the grace of God.